Polly and I will be sharing scripture with you today. She'll go first. She has a reading from the epistle to the Ephesians.
Ephesians 1:1-14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are Christ's possessions, to the praise of his glory.
And from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, this is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. And it is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Let us listen for the Word of God as it comes to us from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The epistle to the Ephesians begins, as a letter. And Paul writes, to the saints, in some translations, you'll read that. To the saints, in some translations, you'll read to the holy ones. But the Greek word that's being translated is agios, which literally means holy ones. Or saints, it can mean either one. That's so very important for us today, because we're dealing with the four major marks of the true authentic church. And last week we talked about the church is one, O-N-E. We talked about the unity of the church and how the church is only one, O-N-E. That there can be diversity within unity. But the church is built on one foundation, and it is one. That's the first mark. And the second mark is the one we're doing today, which is holy. The church is holy. What does the word holy mean? Basically, it means this: to be set apart for a special use. In very simple terms, it's something that's pulled away from other things and used for very special things. I'll give you an example. When we have communion, we have a chalice. We bring it out and we use that chalice. In some respects, that is a holy vessel that we use. Why? Because we only use that chalice when we have communion. And its sole purpose is to hold the wine or to hold the juice that is served to us as the blood of Christ. So we don't take the chalice on the picnic and eat cereal out of it. We don't drink lemonade from it. Because you see, that chalice has been set aside for a special purpose. To hold the wine, to hold the juice. It's holy, set apart. And so that's what God is saying about the church. That's what God's saying about you and me and all of us. We're all saints. Did you notice Paul said to the saints? He didn't say to some of you who are saints and to the rest of y'all who are not. No, he said to the saints because that's what God calls us. God just calls us that. And if you listen closely in Ephesians, you see what God did. See, it's all about what God's doing. That's what matters. And before the foundation of the world, he chose us to be set apart, to be used by him, holy before him in love. And that was God's decision. And so that's what the church is. We are a people who have been set apart for a special purpose in the world, for us, for God to use us. Now, when I say the word holy, I'm aware that that word is not extremely popular because we've heard the term holier than thou. Different things have turned us off about how people have talked about holiness as a set of rules. We measure up, we don't measure up. And that's sad because to me, holy is a good word. It's a very good word. See, holy doesn't mean that we're without sin. What it means, rather, is that we have turned to a good and gracious God to receive his grace that cleanses us and grows us to manifest his holiness to the world. And God takes ordinary people like you and me to do that. So that's what the church is. We're saints. We're holy ones. And the word holy is a word that we can use about the church. Now in the Bible, over and over again, like in Leviticus 11:44, God says, "You know, I have delivered you from captivity. I'm your sovereign Lord. I am the Lord your God. You're my people. Here's what I want. I want you to be holy as I am holy." Over and over and over again in the Bible, that's what God is saying. I want you to be holy as I am holy. Now, so in our scripture today, look on over to Matthew's gospel. Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about how our righteousness should really exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees who live only by the letter of the law. We live by the spirit of the law, which takes us deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of God. And Jesus says that we are to be perfect as God is perfect. Now hold that thought for a second. The same word that is translated perfect in Matthew's gospel is the same Greek word that is translated compassionate in Luke's gospel, the 6th chapter, verse 36. And that, Jesus is preaching again. And he's saying, be ye compassionate as your heavenly Father is compassionate. So the very Greek word could be translated perfect. It could be translated compassionate. And so I want to line up three words for you right now: holy, perfect, compassionate. Really, they're all about one thing. They're all about one thing. Being perfect means to be made complete in graciousness and compassion. It's being perfected in the capacity to love as God loves, to be as gracious as God is gracious, to be as generous as God is generous. Now, in the Message translation of Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, it talks about, translates that sentence that reads, "Be you perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," translates it, "Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you." So, in a way, holy for me is a good word, because it means to be grace-filled, compassionate, loving. Holy to me means hands that serve. There was a time when I needed to take my mother for an examination, a mental examination. She had had several strokes, and they were trying to assess her cognitive abilities. The doctor was so kind. He'd ask her basic questions like, "Who's the president of the United States?" And I said, "Who is president of the United States?" And she'd get them right, and then he'd say, "I'd like for you to add these numbers." And she did fairly well, and there were some things that was kind of difficult for her. And the doctor was so kind, and you know, I guess he didn't have to do this, but he said, "You know, Mrs. Green, you're doing well. Thank you so much. Can I see your hands for a moment?" Took her hands. Said, "Mrs. Green, I can see that you've used your hands to scrub floors. I can see your hands have been used to serve others. I can see that your hands are special hands. What have these hands done, Mrs. Green?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know. They've just done lots of things." Then I thought about the things that my mom's hands have done for me, for my brother, for my father, for other people. The times that she used her hands to help needy people, to feed strangers brought into our home. I remember the time I was coming home and my mom and dad said, "Well, you know, we rented your room out to a lady who needed it." I said, "Well, the doctor didn't need to say anything about her hands. It was all about the state that she should be assessed at. But that doctor did me a favor. Because before I left my mother that day, took her hand in my hand. I said, "Mother, thank you for using your hands as holy hands." And then holding hands together, I said, "God, could you take my hands and make them like my mother's? Make them like holy hands." Teresa of Avila has a phrase, "Christ has no hands but our hands. Christ has no hands but your hands. Yours are the hands with which Christ wants to touch the world. Ours are the hands that Christ wants to use in the world today to touch others. Ours are the hands to turn and face a broken world into men brokenness. Ours are the hands to turn and face the world and help heal hurts. Ours are the hands to turn and face the world and to help comfort those who sorrow. Ours are the hands with which we are to turn and face the world and to lift up those who are fallen. Ours are the hands with which we are to build bridges to bring people together. Ours are the hands with which we are to turn and face the world and take up a hammer, hammer out justice. Ours are the hand with which we are to turn and face the world and raise up a banner of love over all. Church is holy. And we're all to have holy hands. And I'd like for you to think about doing something maybe tomorrow when you wake up or sometime. Use it this week. It's a little way you can practice holiness. Take some time to look at your hands. And there's a verse in a hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Here's the verse. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Your love. Be a good way to start each and every day, but holiness is a process by which we pray that prayer over and over again. Take my hands. And move them, let them move by the impulse of Your love. Holiness is a commitment that we make. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Holiness is a commitment we make. Holiness is a way we think. Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though He was equal with God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself and became one of us and humbled Himself and served others even to the point of death on the cross. Holiness is not only a commitment that we make and a way that we think, but holiness is a way that we, is an attitude. It is, holiness is a command to obey. Holiness is a, it's a command to obey. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O mortal, what He requires of you, and what does the Lord require of you but to do, but this. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And it is an attitude that we are to develop. Paul said, I count everything that I thought was so very valuable according to the world's values as nothing but garbage for the sake of gaining Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. A holiness is a commitment that we make. It's a way that we think. It's a command to obey. And it's an attitude to develop. Lord, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. The invitation to prayer is just bring your hands on up. Polly and I will pray over your hands. Let us stand.